Blog Talk Radio.
Johanna Sebastian, When Love Shows Light. And welcome back to Book Nook. With Just Jay Warner and Attica Lundy Cooper, Portia Lewis is the guest tonight. I'm really excited about Portia being on tonight. I'm very familiar with Portia After Dark, so I'm so excited about her coming through tonight. Portia's the award-winning author of Chronicles, Love and Lust, Erotic Tales, and A Different Kind of Love Story. She's also the author of The Pussy Chronicles. That's what I meant to say, not Chronicles, but Pussy Chronicles. And each one of her novels that she has are 5-star reads. Her novels can be found and purchased on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, Hudson Booksellers, and Walmart, and so forth and so on. So we'll be talking to her this evening. And as always, we're going to get the hits, the On the Rise radio hits that we've been playing. We're going to get those in rotation on tonight. So just stay tuned, as always, and enjoy the music. So that was Johanna Sebastian. And now we're going to get into some Ambry. Wouldn't be.
Listen, I've been holding back so long and look, it's killing me. Cause you know I'm feeling you and I know you're feeling me. I didn't even have to know your name when I met you, cause I fell in love right there and I missed you when I left you. That damn smile got me falling in. So deep, you're the future I'm envisioning. I get butterflies every time I visit him. I'm so excited to find out what our future brings. Cause he's the one, yeah, I know it. I'll be there to catch each kiss when he blow it. Me minus you ain't the world that I ever wanna see. You keep my pulse racing, you're the rhythm to my every beat. If you ain't in love, then you won't know what I'm saying. I'm forever by his side and right here is where I'm staying. Rose petals on the floor surrounded by candles. Picture of us in the frame sitting on the mantle. I swear to God this is the feeling that I've never known. Pray that it's him every time somebody call my phone. I wanna prove the people wrong, telling me it's a bad idea. I can feel their jealousy every time you're standing here. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me that you always stay. Cause I don't know what I'd ever do. My heart stops at the very thought of losing you. You got a piece right here, yeah, it's yours. Fly around the world, take you with me on my tour. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me. Cause I couldn't ever picture life without you. It's like I'm so in sync with the world and I'm around you. Can't concentrate on many things but us. This is the real thing, I can't contemplate on loss. I've only ever read about this kind of feeling. Love struck, so I don't know the floor from the ceiling. Can't tell if I'm coming or I'm leaving. Hot flushes when I see him, like my favorite season. Hold hands through the park, phone calls for hours. Hugs in the winter, kissing in the rain showers. Ladies, if you got a man, give a clap for him. Or if you see a happy couple, then don't hate him, just be haps for him. And if you're broken up, don't reminisce on bad times. Think of when you smile, just to help you through the sad times. I love my life, I don't even have nine. Never went looking, but I've already found mine. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me that you always stay. Cause I don't know what I'd ever do, my heart stops at the very thought of losing you. You got a piece right here, yeah, it's yours. Fly you around the world, take you with me on my tour. Verse 3, and I've already said too much, or have I? Baby, tell me if you love this stuff. Tell me if you like hearing how I really feel, cause I'll do it more often. Do we have ourselves a deal? Put your hand on my chest, see how my heart beats for you. If it had arms, then it would hold them out and reach for you. If it had a mouth, then it would open up and speak for you. Trying to keep my balance, cause my legs are going weak for you. It feels strange, cause I don't like to open up. I'm taking inspiration and continuing to soak it up. It's like I found a gold, or like I found some luck. I was searching for some, oh, I found a spot and then I struck. No way. No more excuses, this is meant to happen. For each time my heart beats, the instrumental's clapping. Clap, clap, like that, like that. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me that you always stay. Cause I don't know what I'd ever do, my heart stops at the very thought of losing you. You got a piece right here, yeah, it's yours. Fly you around the world, take you with me on my tour. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way. But I hope that you never leave, so promise me. Yeah, I know that it's funny, I never knew that I could feel this way.
Left on my porch every time I step out my home. But I'm grown, and although the roses are baby, I don't wanna pick up the phone, pick up the phone, pick up the phone. Cause your voice is like a wicked and I stutter when I speak, and you make me wanna leave everyone when you down. Pick up the phone, pick up the phone, pick up the phone. Then I know you're on a creek, and I don't even gotta see the proof, it's right in front of me. Pick your voice and my song.
I ain't picking up.
Okay, we are back from Book Nook. What's up, lady?
Hey, lady, how you doing? It's been a long week, girl. It's been a long week.
Long week, yeah, it has.
Yeah.
We are back once again. So, you getting back to school stuff ready? Is that what's going on?
Well, my son started at the school already. So at least that's over. But my daughter starts next week. Well, my birthday was Sunday. It was just a lot. It's been a long week.
Do you feel any older?
No,
okay, so that
I
might
actually
be...
feel unfulfilled. Like, I feel unfulfilled, and that's probably what's really bothering me. And I don't know. I don't know why, but I do.
We gotta figure out why.
I kind of know what it is. I'm gonna have to start working again. I just quit a job, but I'm gonna have to start working at back at these hotels because here in the South, and I'm not not even just Atlanta because it was Florida too. That seemed like the only way I could have a check decent enough for the shit that I want to do, girl. This stuff like. I don't like not having the stuff that I need. And then the types of clients I'm getting, they want to talk to me constantly, but they don't want to pay no damn money.
Right, right.
You know, they always got questions. They want to tag me and shit and talk to me, but nobody has paid any deposits.
Have you done any workshops?
No, because that's going to take money for me to do, girls. Really?
Okay.
I was trying to get at least a fifth client, and because you know you got to book the place, to do the workshop at. Right. So I don't have no money to do that with because the clients that I have, it's like it's just not working. Basically, it's just not working.
Mm-hmm.
I have clients that are in a rush to get their stuff done, but they still ain't made the whole the down pot, the deposit. Like I shouldn't even have started their books, and I've seen them several times, but they haven't made any more payments. But they wonder where the book cover is and all of this stuff, girl. And that's why I messaged you before. Like I think I'm not gonna do this anymore because I end up doing a bunch of work. And then it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
That's how Larry is, too. Larry is really animate about not doing certain projects anymore. I know he's going through some stuff, so he's in writer's mode. He can't do anything other than write. But he absolutely will not work with other people.
Yeah, because they want you to do so much. And for me, I feel like my prices are reasonable. And then you're asking me for stuff every day, but I still haven't received your entire deposit. Like, I shouldn't even have started on your book, and we're well into your book, been a month already, and you still ain't finished your deposit. You know what I'm saying?
I think you remember.
And then, of course, when I don't put it to the side, I get bad when I don't work on it, I get bad reviews and no comments and junk.
Oh, goodness. You have to deal with that? Oh, man.
Girl, black people. It's black people.
Black people. Black people.
Yeah, I'm convinced that if I get some white clients, I won't have any of these issues. And that's really sad to say, but I'm convinced.
Well, there's this author that I think I tagged you in it. She does workshops and things like that. and she's making money from stuff like that. I know it takes money to make money.
Well, you can make money from the, right. You can make, like, I'm planning to do a workshop, but I have to book the place. I have to do all that. And depending on the clients to pay me first before I book the place will not work because everybody, all the black people want to pay at the last minute. So, you know, I would end up in debt trying to wait for people to pay, you know, what they're supposed to pay.
Wow.
And I'm, you know, at first I was like, okay, I'm just investing, you know, in myself. But at this point, it's not worth investing in a company if I'm not seeing anything back. So I'm only working on my authors and myself. My book, my book ain't come out.
I know.
Authors and shit. My book is not done. It's not done. And it won't be done anytime soon because I have two clients' books due by the end of August, and they've already paid. Well, one of them has paid her full-on deposit, and the other one is making payments. And then I have two authors with books that come out by the first. So I just don't have time to even work on my own craft. And that I think I'm becoming resentful because I'm not seeing anything back from it. So it's like I'm doing this for nothing at this point, and they constantly asking me for crap.
Right. So high heels have to be put on the burner?
Again,
the back
girl.
Burner.
Again. Yep.
Well, I think if you do the hotel thing just briefly, it's going to be a little bit better than the last position, and B, you're going to be able to get to some of your projects because you will have that financial aspect not stressing. You know, you won't be stressing.
Well, the thing about the working with the hotels is I never have enough time. And that's the point. Like, the point of me not working was so that I would have more time to deal with more clients. Girl, I got 8 clients that have contacted me and continuously contact me, but ain't made no deposits at all. But they contact me all the time like I'm almost ready. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, that's that out of sight, out of mind, and trying to make sure you don't forget about them.
Well, I forgot. I'm not taking on any clients. I'm not telling anybody I'm doing a project until I'm paid. Like, that's it.
Right.
When you pay me, then we could discuss that. I don't want to talk about it. Any more projects that's not, like, it just don't make sense to me. You want to talk to me and tag me and stuff? No, I sent you some of my poems. For what? Girl, it's been to the point where I'm like, they're going to not want me to work with them because of the shit I'm going to say. Like, I don't even want to read your shit unless I'm working on it.
Well,
don't tag me to no posts. Don't send me shit. Like, I'm getting inboxes of 5 different poems. What are you sending me this for? And that's literally what I asked. What are you sending me this for? Oh, I wanted you to read it. For what?
Right. You should just put out a notice that you're not
taking any commission.
It's making
like a bitter. Well, girl, that's the thing. I didn't want to take on the submissions that I did take on in the first place. They just came to me. I didn't put nothing saying I was taking out submissions at all. I had just gotten rid of all the authors that I had, girl.
Oh, wow. You're just
remember
popular.
I was telling you when I came on the show, and I was saying, like, I don't even want to. I don't want to work with no damn authors anymore. It takes too much. And then I had people come to me, and the 3 that came to me seemed to be worth it because they have other things going on as far as small businesses, and that would contribute to the business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To the brand and everything. But, girl, even they need me. I'm just
I
over everything
sorry.
At this point, and it might just be my birthday.
Yeah, I mean, a lot
Don't
of it
can
be.
Put that in the garbage, and then you can get you some. You need me to put. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry
about that.
I said that before. Like this is my second time saying that, girl. I don't think I want to do this, like, not the publishing part anymore. I think I'm over it. Especially when
like
it comes to the point I can't write my own stuff.
Right.
I can't write my own stuff and then you know, it would be worth not, you know, putting my stuff on the back burner if the projects that I was doing was bringing me money. But that's not even the case anymore. I did I've done 4 projects, but only 2 of them have been completely paid for.
Wow.
Yeah. And my goal was to get 5 projects from, you know, people that had a lot going on here in Atlanta. But I'm just not feeling it anymore. Like, I'm just over it. I'm looking at a book right now. I'm just, like, disgusted. Sometimes I just put my laptop in my pocketbook so I don't got to look at the shit.
Right.
I mean, I don't even want to see the damn laptop.
I think publishing is just really stressful.
It's the people. It's dealing with the people. If, like, if I had clients, like, the first clients I had that knew exactly what they wanted, and it wasn't, like, a whole big thing. You know this is my price. You know that this is what you want. I'm not negotiating or nothing. I don't want to, like, that's the thing. Like, it's just not worth, you know, the hassle. Especially when the money is not there, you know what I'm saying? Like, the money ain't there, and you wanna hassle and bargain. Just pay the little fee that I'm trying to talk, because they don't, you know, especially Black people, they don't understand that most of the time you're giving them a deal anyway, because they don't want to do the job themselves. That's what you do it, but then they want you to get them a discount.
Right. You should do a online conference workshop.
I don't think I want to help people anymore. I don't think I want to. I don't think it's worth it. I think I'd just rather just write my own crap.
Right.
But I said this before, and then I end up with authors again.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to help keep you away from the client. He's like, no, don't take another client.
No, it's not even that. I just need serious clients. I don't need anybody that wants to talk to me and ask me for free advice when I'm clearly offering this as a service. If you're
right.
not going to pay, don't ask me anything. That's really how I feel. If you're not going to pay, don't ask me nothing. I don't have any advice. And, like, I really hate working this type of job, and here I am having to go back to this type of job again. Like, it's just ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too, girl.
Well, we have our guest on tonight. I don't know if I feel like she's been in publishing, but I don't know for sure. We'll find out.
What's her name?
Her name is Portia Lewis.
Yeah,
She writes under Felicia Lewis.
She writes under who?
It looks like when I read her book, it said Felicia Lewis. So I don't know if that's her pen name or what. I hope to find out tonight.
Right. Well, I'm excited. I like, you know, to hear of, you know, other people's other people's experiences.
Yeah.
You know, writing and being signed and all that. I really needed a break. Like, I really needed my birthday to be a break, and it really wasn't. So that might be the issue. I just need, like, a vacation from everything. And I don't think that I'm going to get it at this point because, you know, once school starts, that's just it for vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, this book, I'm about to start editing this book. This book is 200 and something pages, and it's just making me sad at this point.
Aww. It's a lot of people out there that have a book inside of them that they'd like to get published one day. They just haven't been approached, I think.
Well, I don't want to take on any more authors, for sure. I don't want to sign anybody else because I don't want to have to invest any money into anybody else, period.
Right.
And as far as the clients, I'm just not willing to help anybody that doesn't have a deposit at this point. You know, people don't realize that when you offer in a service, it's work.
It is,
it's
indeed.
I'm not your friend doing you a favor. We agreed to do this as a service. And, you know, especially when you're an entrepreneur, I could have used that client's money for some back-to-school class. But, you know, if they're not paying, that's money I don't have.
That's true. Also, callers, if you are on the line, please press 1 to speak with the host so that we know who you are. I feel like my caller might be on the line. I'm going to see real quick. Yep, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Ms. Lewis. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I am good.
How are you doing?
This is Bob Lady.
Hi, I can't hear you.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you right under Felicia or are you right under Portia?
I write under Felicia. I write under Felicia Lewis, but it's author Portia.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a Portia Presents.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. That works. So you're self-published.
I was self-published, and now I am with a publisher in New York City.
Okay. So we can start there. How do you like the difference? Do you feel better being with a company, or do you miss certain things about being self-published?
Well, the self-publishing is really well for, you know, especially when you're first starting off, and you kind of are trying to get your feet kind of wet in the water, or whatever, trying to feel your way. But once you know that you have a really good product or whatever the case may be, it's kind of good to be recognized. And when you get a publishing house that, you know, sees the potential in you, sees what they can do for you, and, you know, they say, well, we're going to give you this amount to take you here. So then you got to kind of wave the waters a little bit. You know what I mean? You got to see what you could have done on your own opposed to what they can do for you. And 9 times out of 10, they could take you further than what you are trying to reach because social media is just not, you know, going to do everything you need to do. Get you radio spots, get you commercials, things like that to get you out there, to get you a little bit more known than you already are. So it's, I think both ways are good. You know what I mean? Once you, like I said, you just got to feel your way. You definitely have to have the right people in your corner because this is our world, our book world, entertainment world is a cutthroat world. People can use you. They take advantage of you. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot that can come over if you don't have the right team behind you. And like I explained before when we did the interview, you know, I kind of lucked out because my uncle, who's also my manager, but he's also the president of SAG-AFTRA in Las Vegas. So he kind of knows a lot of people in the industry.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, you kind of lucked out.
Yeah, I kind of lucked out. I did.
So how many books do you have as of today?
As of today, I have 4. I have 4, working on 2 more.
Okay. And are they all in the same category?
They're in the same category. Well, the 3 is in the same category. My book number 4, which will be coming out, that I'm doing with a really good actor, we'll announce that. Our book will be coming out in January. It's a discussion of back talk. It's called back talk, and it's what queens are asking their kings. So it's like all the questions, you know, I went around asking, you know, questions to a number of women and whatever, you know, to see their questions, and then the answers are going to get replied by a very well-known actor, very well-known actor. So we're going to have that out. We're going to introduce that to the world in January. And then my book one, P Chronicles, Chronicles of Deception, is almost finished. And that's also going into production, will be coming out very soon.
Okay.
Love and Lust Erotic Tales, P Chronicles, Chronicles of Deception 1, they are doing fabulous. I'm very proud of those. Very, very proud of those. I just won the bronze with the first one. So that put me in like the top 100 and then top 10. So I got to go to New York, Times Square, Coco Cabana, and get awarded and all that, you know, great stuff, and met some awesome people. Met some really awesome people in the business.
Okay, so P Chronicles was your first book?
That's the first book. I don't know if I can say the whole name.
So is it like in...
Yes, you can say the whole name.
I mean, you can.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Pussy Chronicles. It's Pussy Chronicles.
So, so is it like an anthology or is it a novel?
No, it's a novella. Novella.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, when you hear Chronicles, you think that it's an anthology short story.
Well, the reason why I named it Pussy Chronicles is because it's never ending. So Pussy Chronicles comes from because we as women, we create everything in this world. So our life is everlasting. We keep going and keep going and keep going. You can't do nothing without women. You can't. So there you have Pussy Chronicles. So, of course, people can look at it and think it's just all, you know, it's all sexual, it's all heat. It is a lot of that juiciness, but it has deception and it has all kind of twists and turns in it, you know. But it's just letting you know that, you know, women of the world, we can do anything. We do anything. We create everything.
True.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit more about the story? Like, you know, well, I know it's like a multi-category as far as, you know, erotica and also the, you know, deception and suspense and things like that. But can you tell us a little bit more?
Absolutely. Well, it's about five women. You have Desiree, Candace, Eve, Samantha, who are in a workplace. They are they run a sex escort service in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Because of how the girls met up and how their past came about, you know, the people that they ran into, the murdering ways, the things that happened to Candace when she was younger, that put her to where she is today. Eva, she runs it all. So you have Eva who runs it all. You have Samantha in the French Riviera, you know, who comes back and forth to the States. You have Candace. She's the baby of the bunch, but she's the one. She's like, she's fun. She's out there. She's the party girl. But if it wasn't for her, they wouldn't have got the Pussy Chronicles up and running. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Charlotte and Desiree, they're in the operations as like the overseers, the entertainment. They book the clients. They do different things like that. But it's just, it's a lot of people who also are employed by the Chronicles, who makes the novel what it is, who makes each and every one of my characters in that book come alive. So it's it's a really great read. 5-star read, as a matter of fact.
Right. I didn't plug it, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did it come out officially? When did your first book release?
I released the first book April of 2016. Now, this is when, of course, I was self-published. So it was out there. That was like the first thing. But I just re-released it again because I had new editors and things like that there to make it a lot better, to make it a lot more of what everybody needed. Because I'm not the editor. So the editor that I hired, I thought that she was doing the bomb job, but I learned after, you know, getting with a couple more people, whatever the case may be. But, you know, the editor that I have now, yeah, you have to, like, that right there is, like, a big thing. I'm like, yeah. You know, I don't want to say I'm a perfectionist, but when it comes to something that you love, you don't want to see missed words. You don't want to see,
right.
You know,
spaces
words
and
inside
all
of another
stuff.
Word or spaces that ain't supposed to be there. Or just,
mm-hmm.
you look at you, you be like, wait a minute, that's, I hired you. You know what I mean? I spent a lot of money on you to edit. So, and my thing is, I always say, if you're going to be an editor, I need the editor to have an editor.
Yeah.
Because the amount of money that you put out into an editor, you know, you get them where it's not going to be perfect. It should be. It should be perfect because that's the whole reason why I hire you. I hire you to
right.
make sure that it's going to be perfect. And that's what I expected.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and then I had, you know, the rereading. I shouldn't have to keep rereading my own story, you know, hundreds of times.
Exactly.
But I had to learn that you have to do that because you have to go behind the editor. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Why am I going behind you? You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So it made the book, the new editors or whatever, it made the book thicker. It made it more. It made it pop. It made it juicier. Now it's physically. It was already like you're watching a movie, but it's like you're right there. Like you're right there watching the pages unfold. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, you've been happy with it.
I am.
And that's always good.
I am very happy with this. And I'm really happy with Love and Lust Erotic Tales, which is 28 to 30 erotic tales that are just crazy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can relate to one of the stories in there. And then it's like it takes you away for a minute. It definitely takes you away. So that's awesome. I'm really proud of both of them.
Okay, so how did you come to be signed from being self-published? You put the book out in April of last year. How did you get to the point of being signed right now?
Actually, I was found through, well, not necessarily found. Like I said, my manager is the one who hooked everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my manager, you know, hooked everything up. I went in. Meetings. I mean, it took a while, you know what I'm saying, to see where we were going and see what we were doing and everything like that. But once it was finally said and done, it was like all she wrote. It just felt like family. It still feels like family. I don't have to worry about, you know, my master's not being mine. I still have control over what I want to do, which was very big to me. I don't want it to seem like I'm giving my name away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're taking credit for something that I did when I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. So it's none. It's I don't feel any of that. That wasn't felt. And you know, in advance, my advance was nice. That kind of feels
right.
Real.
Yeah, that does it.
That does it. That makes it feel really good. So yeah, I'm really happy with my team and the things that I'm doing and meeting new people and seeing your fans and seeing how people react to you just from your work.
Mm-hmm.
Just from your work. You know? So yeah. But I think that the one that's coming out in January, that right there is going to go over the top because I've already
right.
had really, really, really good feedback. It's crazy. So I'm hoping.
If it's your first
only plan to write in erotica?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Go ahead.
No, I was asking, was this only book that you have written with someone else that you're co-authoring?
No, I have a different kind of love story that I did with 13 other authors, 12 other authors. The anthology.
Okay. A different kind of love story.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I did that with, 12 other authors. But this one is just me and a gentleman who is getting this off.
Okay. How did you like that? How did you like working with so many other authors?
It was cool. It was real cool. You know, you get to meet people. And see their styles and you know, things of that nature, you know, because it wasn't really about our minds syncing because, you know, you're still writing each and every one of you are still writing your individual stories. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So, but just to know that you got a good group of, you know, new authors that's coming on the scene, veteran authors that are already out there, come together and do something. We did this for cancer. No, I'm sorry, not this one. It was for Feeding America. That's what this one was. Yeah, right. So that just felt really good to just to get a group of people, men and women, together and to do something that was going to affect, you know, a lot of people.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, because Feeding America, that's something that's, you know what I mean, that's something big. Because that's something that there's, you know, in my eyes, shouldn't nobody be hungry as much as, you know, this world has. There shouldn't be one hungry child in America, you know, period, throughout the world. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. We got millions and millions and billions of dollars just to blow away on making stadiums and things like that or whatever the case may be that tax dollars are paying for. But you mean to tell me you can't feed a child? It's that much? I don't like seeing little kids on the street starving and hungry. And the parents, I don't care what you came from. You don't have to stay there. But everybody needs a helping hand at some point in time. So you got to do the best you can. You know, you got to do the best you can.
That's a really good project. Is that something that your manager found for you, or was that something that you just happened upon yourself?
No, that actually was something that it was a group of people from FB. The one young lady, her name was Reva Williams. She's the one that got it together. She's from the BVI. You know, she has her own magazine, and she does things like that or whatever the case may be. So she was like, hey, you know, I'd like to get together and get a group of authors together to do this. So that's how that came about.
Okay.
Yeah, we were kind of already friends on, like I said, FB, and, you know, we clicked and everything, started talking or whatever, and she came up with the idea, and we ran with it.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was totally dope.
Okay. Who is Portia After Dark?
That's me.
I know.
Portia After Dark is me. Portia After Dark was something I started on the blogs. And once it got up to so many viewers, I think now it's over like 750,000, and I stopped doing it. So it was a blog of, you know, different erotic tales on there. You know, and then I had a little you know, midnight laugh thing or whatever the case may be, where it was sexy stories and little interviews with different people. So that's where Portia After Dark came in effect.
Okay.
And she's the one that actually, you know. No, I haven't done the blog in a while, but the blog is up. I can't take it down because I still get paid from the blog, which is perfect for me. But, you know, having a publisher, you know, that's like it kind of conflicting.
Right.
It's kind of conflicting. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, everything, I compiled everything into a book, basically. But everybody around the world is, you know, they click on it, they go on it. And so, you know, as long as it pops, it'll be up there. It'll be up there. I will always be Portia After Dark. I will always be known for erotica. But I also want to be known and let people know that I'm so much more than erotica. That's just one fun thing. You know what I mean? How you just take your mind and you just take you to other places. But when you want to reach people and you want to get into, you know, the depths of people's souls, you got to touch them right there in the heart and mind. So that's what this fourth book is going to do.
Okay.
And that was my question. Did you plan to only write in erotica?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. There's going to be, I have a horror story that I'm going to be doing as well. I'll be doing some, romance thrillers. And it's not even a fact about jumping all over the place. It's about when, because you'll always be able to write something about erotica. You know what I'm saying? But you want to kind of exercise your brain. You want to kind of see how far you can go to stimulate someone else in the aspect of different writing materials that you have inside you. So I have all these characters in my head that are trying to get out. And it's like, it's so many of them. I'm like, okay, well, this is a different book. This is no longer erotica. This is straight horror. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, once you do that or whatever, you just got to figure out for yourself, okay, so this is where I'm going to be at. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I absolutely agree with that because I have 9 books, and I've written in 6 different genres so far.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
6.
Mm-hmm.
I think 6. But I fully agree. I my issue is always being boxed in. You know, I would never want to be boxed into writing and, you know, to be known, oh, she only writes this.
Right. There you go. Right there. You want to be known for different things so people can see that not only are, you know, you're an author, you're a writer, but you're intelligent. You can take yourself out that one box that you were in and you can expand it to do whatever you want to do. I mean, you can make up something by looking at a tree. You can make up something by the person walking down the street. You know what I'm saying? When those characters hit you and you feel them, you just go ahead and you just take it and you just run with it. We got this life that we live in. So, you know, put it on paper and make people happy. And if it's making you happy, you do whatever you feel like you want to do as long as you're not hurting nobody. And it's making you known around the world.
Right. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm really happy for you that you found success in it.
Thank you. And I pray the same for you.
Well, thank you. I'm happy as a writer. I'm expanding into other areas that I'm not so sure I'm going to continue with, but I'm happy as a writer.
Well, never stop, though. You know what I'm saying? Never, because once you stop, because I had a friend, she had stopped writing, and this was a passion that she had because she jumped into another area. You know what I'm saying? But it's kind of like it kind of conflicts her, and it's like, but you could do it all. You know, you just make time. You make time to do what's going to be, first of all, beneficial to you because you don't want to lose out on anything. You know what I'm saying? But also you have to be happy with what you're doing. At all times, and you can't let nobody tell you anything different. You have common sense. You know what I'm saying? You know the difference between right and wrong. You know what you should be doing and you know what you shouldn't do. So you just grab a hold of it and you just go. You just do it. You just do it. I mean, no matter if it's like that little feeling, it'd be like, I don't think I should do that. No, that means you should do it.
Right.
You should do it.
And I mean, you know, my other areas are in the literary world as well. I would love to only work in the literary world, but you know, not everything is as easy, you know, as writing. Well, for me,
right?
You know, if I could write, that would just be the easiest thing. That's all I had to do. But
also,
you know, I'm into
Go ahead. No, go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
I'm a publisher as well, and I also take clients. I help people self-publish. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be doing that. But,
I know that's a headache.
Yes, several headaches. But I'll never stop writing. I may take breaks, but it actually bothers me when I don't get to write. So I don't see myself stopping altogether ever.
Good. Very good. And the thing with that, write for everybody. Don't just write for one particular culture of people. Write for everybody so everybody will be able to feel, because it could take you to move that mountain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where everybody comes together. Because one thing for certain, two things for sure, everybody reads.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody reads. You get the people, of course, you know, when you're the book signing girl, and they be like, I don't read. You a lie.
I met some people that don't, and it surprised me when I released my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's here in the South, of course. I released my first book. Mm-hmm. I was living in Orlando. And when they say they don't read, honey, they serious. They are serious, baby. And the longer you converse with them, you're able to tell, like, yeah, she right. I ain't going to bother her.
Yeah, see, that's That don't make no sense. I just let them know. I said, like, you put those two sentences together. You read. You had to read that somewhere to formulate that thought in your head. You read that somewhere. You got through school. You read. So don't say you don't read because you make yourself sound stupid and unintelligent. Never tell nobody you don't read. That means somebody's going to take that. They're going to get over on you. They're going to get over on you.
Girl. And go ahead.
Do you get a lot of fan mail? You know, what are your readers saying?
My readers love it. My PA, she gets a lot. She gets a lot of mail for me and lots of emails for me and everything. I haven't got a bad review. I haven't. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you get the kind where you get the little bunch where it's like, well, that was a little too heavy for them, you know, in the central department or whatever. But once they got done reading the book, they didn't know that the turn of events was going to happen the way they did. So it totally made them think a different way. So I haven't experienced that yet, although, you know, I'm ready for it. You know, of course, I didn't got, you know, some of the little older people, well, baby, you know, why do you have to write so, you know, so sexual? I was like, well, baby, how did you get here? I mean, you know, everybody does it. I mean, come on now. This is the world that we live in today. And it's a thought that comes out in your head. I say it when you know you want to do it or you think it. You know what I mean? Like, my thing is, like, let's not be taboo. But when I say that, I don't want to talk to you about bestiality. I don't want to talk to you about something with kids. I don't mean that. I mean, you're grown. You do grown people stuff, you know, grown things. But, you know, don't be scared to do whatever you want to do because you're grown and whatever is allowed. You know what I mean? So, I haven't had anything negative yet in that, you know, in that aspect. But this is a cutthroat business. You know what I'm saying? There's people that you have to turn away. There's a lot of people that you have to turn down. And when you write erotica, automatically your male fans and some of your female fans think that you're your character. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you have to recognize that this is a character. So I find myself, like, when I go to Vegas or somewhere, of course, and I live in Atlanta. But when you go to, like, the big cities, New York and all that, I have to have security with me just because. It's going to be an open venue that people know because they're coming to an expo or they're coming, you know what I mean, something, a book bonanza or type of whatever, so you know they know you. So they kind of get kind of unruly or whatever, so you got to always kind of stay on guard. But that's going to be this business, and without this business, you know, people just, some of them just ain't right type.
Yeah, I had a stalker that followed me from one of my book signings, and I had to end up, you know, long story short, I had to end up getting a restraining order. Because the lady was crazy. She got too caught up into my book. Yeah, she got too caught up into my book and was just obsessing. And it's crazy.
I don't get you. It's crazy. you can't differentiate reality from book, you know, from fiction. Like, come on, it's a tale. We tell tales.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And
no matter
it's really easy to, because we sit in front of these people at book signings or whatever, it's really easy to just, you know, catch a fool. It's easy.
It is. It really is. It really is. And that's the crazy thing. So you got to just always make sure you stay prayed up, stay wrapped up with the armor of God around you. And security helps too.
That's good. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Right.
I didn't have
those arms.
I didn't think that, you know, because I'm not a big artist or anything. I didn't think that I would need security, but you are absolutely right.
You write erotica. When anything that you write to somebody, like you said, she was a stalker. She dove into those books, and she's like, no, I need to know what your next chapter is going to be type of deal. You know what I'm saying? That type of deal. No, you need somebody when you go on these book signings. You do. Definitely. Because sometimes I turn some things away sometimes, and I'm like, that don't sound too much. That don't sound like I'm going to be too safe. No.
But, you know,
as writers, we don't think about it. You know, we create worlds for some people. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there with addictive personalities.
Yeah,
and
right.
We're creating a world for them to live in.
Mm-hmm.
There are people
yeah.
that live promiscuous. You know, they live vicariously through us. Yeah, through
right.
what we're writing. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they made a whole movie about this like 30 years ago. Where the woman kidnapped the author and broke his legs because she didn't like the ending that he wrote. She made him write
yeah.
a book.
Yeah, that's what.
Now
yeah.
this actually, you know, it happened. It happened, and it's actually, yeah, it's called Misery.
Misery.
You know, don't be halfway cute and you doing this. You know, they definitely want to kidnap you and get you to write love stories for them. For the rest of time, you know.
Right. They do. Because you'll get
that. You don't even have to be, you know, great. Some people are just crazy. Like some people, like
yeah.
there are just people that no matter what you do, you could not be doing a book sign. You could be at Walmart, and they remember
mm-hmm.
your picture from the back of the book, and now they're gonna follow you home because, you know, they know you they wrote you a letter and they're your biggest fan or something, so you have to be connected. You know, people get into their own, get in their own minds how things are, and you don't necessarily have to even contribute to it for them to think that you're involved.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that was one reason why I stopped putting my face on the back of my book. It's on
right.
the first one from Pussy Chronicles. After that,
mm-hmm.
you get no picture. Oh, no, I learned because
right.
my first signing for Pussy Chronicles was in Las Vegas, and it was at the Black Film Festival. When I tell you, yeah, it was a good thing that I sold out, that was beautiful in the whole nine. But those people, because what you do in Vegas, they keep it there,
yeah,
but they crazy. They was hanging all over my area. Security was throwing them like left and right or whatever the case may be, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
One guy tried to physically pull me because I had no idea that you would really look like this. And I love the but we're in Vegas.
That's
you know what
scary.
I'm saying? So it's like, oh, my God. And then I have another one coming up in Vegas. So, but I'm prepared.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm prepared for this. So it's like, because that's a place that you could do. Right, you wouldn't think. But if you could ever do a signing in Vegas, I don't know if you have, it's worth it. It's so, girl, when I tell you it's worth it, it is so worth it. You take as many books as you possibly can, and you will sell the hell out.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You will. You definitely will.
That's awesome. And you know what other places like that? Philly is like that. Philly is super
mm-hmm.
supportive of Black authors.
Mm-hmm.
They really
mm-hmm.
are.
See, that's good. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, because,
I mean,
you know with the digital world, we think, oh, nobody, you know, like not a lot of people aren't into paperback, and that's so false. In certain places.
Right.
So are you in any bookstores?
I will be in Barnes & Noble, and I'm in Romans in San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, working on Walmart, but like the online, of course, Barnes & Noble, Hudson Booksellers, Romans, eBay, and all those. I'm definitely on there. Books A Million and all that. Oh, I'll be in Books A Million too. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those avenues. Yes, and I just think online is such, because everybody's online. Everybody is online all the time. People don't even like really going outside anymore. They're always online.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have a certain type that really, really like goes into the bookstores. Because if you notice, if you go into a Barnes & Noble bookstore, it's never really packed. It's never
right.
really packed in there. The people go in, they go grab what they want or whatever the case may be. But you let them know that your books are online. You know what I mean? And that was another
yeah.
thing about self-publishing. Your books can be online when you self-publish, but it takes so long for your royalties to come in because of the fact that they're everywhere. They're in the UK. You know what I mean? They're in different countries. They're in different states. It takes a long time. It doesn't hit. Now, if they're right here in the United States and they click, you're going to see it. But for all those other avenues to come in, it takes forever. I swear it took like, and they supposed to hit like every month.
Wow.
every month. But being
yeah,
that my
but
book
it takes was, 90 days for the first payment too.
It takes 90 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was crazy. But like my books were doing really, really well over in the UK. It took darn near like 120 to 300 days just to get my first royalty check. It was worth it when I seen it, but I'm like, really? And because, you know, everybody, they got to wait for certain criteria to come through, and it's all kind of different things that, you know, and procedures that they have to go through for you to get your money. So that was like another thing about the online with that. But it's good to have. It just takes a while for you to get any royalty type of payment.
Right. Okay, so when did you actually get signed? Because, you know, we're just trying to put like a timeline on it. You released as a self-published author in April
mm-hmm.
of last year. So when did you sign your contract? What day did you get the deal?
The anniversary of April of this year. The anniversary
okay.
of the first book. Mm-hmm. The anniversary
okay.
of the first book. So, and that was like I said, that was a major, major blessing. So that's when the re-release and everything came back out, and it was like things just start happening, just start overflowing. Excuse me, overflowing from there. So we're going to see, you know, what it do, how they do. I'm in a contract. It's a what's like a 2-year, two-three book deal, however that works. But I just want to be able to know. You always just want to be sure. You want to make sure everything is everything, because money, you know what I mean? Money is the root of all evil. So when you see something, you can't, you know, your eyes get big, but at the same time, you got to make sure you're not signing your life over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You definitely have to make sure that you still have rights. Like, it's still your name. It's still your words and everything. But like I said, you know, the money is awesome. You just got to, and I'm not really good with deadlines. And that's another thing. You know what I mean? So now I'm on a deadline type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you self-publish, your deadline is your deadline.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
How long does it normally take you to write a book?
I don't take that long. You know what I mean? Well, if I'm really into it, and depending on what I'm doing, and now that I'm doing signings and stuff, it could take me at least like 4 to 6 months. And sometimes it could take a year. But I don't bring them out like, you know, a book every 2 months, every three. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do 5 months a year, that type of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, like whenever that mood hits you to finish and you're writing, because you want it to be good. You want to make sure your words are affected. You want to make sure when they're reading that, you know, you're conveying exactly what you want. You know, some people can do that, and I applaud them for it. They can put out a book every 2-3, you know what I mean, months or whatever, back to back, or whatever the case may be. But when I was just self-publishing, my dollars wasn't like that. I editor and the cover designer and all this, that, to the third. No, you got to know what you're doing, and I'm very picky. You got to be very picky. You can't just throw any type of book cover. You got to, your readers got to feel your cover, because that's the first thing they see.
Yes.
It's going to be, you know what I mean? You got to give them an aha moment. So if that's going to be the first thing you see, you got to make sure. So, you know, covers is a lot of money. And like I said, and editors and things like that, you can't play with that type of stuff. So
yeah.
You got to work with your budget. You got to work with your budget.
Certainly.
And you know, as a publisher, I'm dealing with that too. But I've been lucking out because my circle already included people that do these things professionally.
That's good.
So,
that's really good.
You know, I'm dating a graphic designer, so that already cuts down half of that. You know, I get flyers
mm-hmm.
and trailers and covers and all of that made for me in the
mm-hmm.
company anyway. And then my best
See,
friend
that's
is an
good.
Editor. So
okay.
By profession, like, they have LLCs doing it. So,
See,
you know, it's not just like, oh, they do it in here, do it for me as a favor. It's like, this is their business.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's what I'm saying.
Sometimes I pay out of respect, and sometimes I don't, you know?
Right.
Like, sometimes
right.
I don't have to, but.
Well, that's, I mean, all of them, because you have a good team. You got people who
right.
you can trust and everything like that. Now, I feel like that, you know, now. You know, when I started off, it was my first, you know, my first book. You know, like I said, I had to dabble in the blog and see how it was going to come about. But then when certain things, people start hitting on, well, this one, this should be a book, you know, so start writing that on your blog, and we're going to turn this into a book.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That was the good thing. And then, you know, the Pussy Chronicles, like I said, they're in the talk, I think when I spoke to you last time, Atika. And I'm going to tell you right now.
Attica.
Uh-huh. Okay, girl, I was trying to give you a whole different French and everything. it's still beautiful, though. It's still beautiful. I got it now.
Thank you. Thank you.
That the movie that they want to do for Pussy Chronicles. So that's something
that
I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it needs to be a movie. Because when I first read it, and I don't think I've seen it since you got it redone, so I'll have to check it out. But when I first read it, I was thinking along the lines of, I was like, this should be a movie. And I started thinking about Spike Lee and Girl Six. And I was like, oh, Spike needs to get hold of this book. He could do something with it.
Well, it's so totally different from when you first read it, because I think you got it when it first came out.
I did.
Yeah, no, it's totally different, because there was words in there that shouldn't have been, where words should have been. It was, you know, and I'm reading like, well, wait a minute, where did that come from?
I know.
Why am I supposed to? You're not supposed to mismatch. You know what I mean? I'm the writer. That's what I was saying. I expect an editor to have an editor.
Yeah,
and to have somebody that go behind the editor's editor. You know what I mean? So it was about perfection. But this one, it grabs a hold to you.
Ooh,
it's totally
different.
The paper is totally different. It's no more large print. Like, you learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So with your blog, how did you start doing your blog? You know, like, decided, okay, I'm just going to start writing some of this stuff down.
Let me tell you how I started this blog, just to be totally honest and to put it out there. I was at this bar in Austell called the Blue Bar. So I was kind of feeling it. Scandal was on, and your girl and the president was, that scene was, it was a bit much. And I was flowing. I had my little, you know, my liquor. I mean, it was feeling good. I said, you know what?
Right.
Let me try to see if I can write something and do a blog. And that's how I started it. I started doing it every day, and then my daughter was like, Mom, no, because you're getting a lot of hits. Don't do it every day. Do it like once every 2 weeks, that type of thing. But I just wanted to get a feel for it, you know, to see how it would work out. And when they start clicking on it, and then that's when Google hits you up and be like, hey, we start paying you like for Google ads and things like that. You getting clicks or whatever it may be. So I was like, oh, yeah, I could do this. That's how I started that blog. I started that September of 2015, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay.
From just having one too many little drinks, but that's what started it.
But this has been a quick journey for you, and that's a blessing. You know, some people, it takes them a long time to really get much recognition for what they do, you know, like, to get the right avenues going.
Right. Well, I feel very, very humbled. And the reason why I got into something quick is because I was in 3 major car accidents. People in Atlanta can't drive because everybody is from somewhere else. I was literally at a stand.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I come from an accounting background. I was an accountant for 20 years. Okay, so once that knocked me out, because I'm paranoid on the road, you know what I'm saying? So if I go anywhere, I'm either got a driver or Uber, one of the two. I'm never getting on the highway ever again. But they took me out of being able to drive again. Like, I literally have 12 herniated discs out of place in my neck from other people messing me up. So I had to live. I got 2 little people. You know what I'm saying, that I still got to take care of. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I need to think about, you know, some gifts that you gave me to figure out what can I do? And that's when, like I said, it kind of came to me when I was up there that night, knowing that I had to compensate for what I was doing. And that's just, And I already knew, you know, my uncle would put me in the right position. I can trust mm-hmm. him. And I have a good, my good friend, Robert, who is, he is the guy who wrote, the actor who wrote Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
So
oh.
Robert Margolian. Yeah, Robert Margolian. So him and I are really good friends. And talking to him and everything really put things in perspective and sent him over some drafts or whatever. And he was like, yes, go for it. You know, go for it. So it was a calling that sometimes
right.
you need to recognize. Because even when I was younger, I started writing when I was 13. That's like little things, little poems and stuff that you, you know, you
I was
going to
ask
you know,
that.
Yeah, take a little gander at it. And my boyfriend at the time, he was in the military, and I had wrote him a poem. And then all of a sudden, you know, his friends seen it, and they wanted me to start writing poems for their girls or whatever and would pay me for it. But you're
mm-hmm.
younger. I wasn't thinking about, you know, really nothing serious writing when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? So from just putting little dabbles of words together here and there, that's what, you know, that's what I did. But I said, that's a blessing that you gave me.
Yeah.
I wasn't so sure about, you know, if the blessing was erotica, but I'm not hurting anybody. So,
right.
And he knows the love that I have for him. Absolutely. In my heart. So
mm-hmm.
that's where, you know, I just ran with that. And that's what I would tell anybody. Just, you follow, you know, you follow your path. You know, it's not even so much your dream. You follow your path and what you're ambitious about and what you feel that's going to give you the best avenue that you possibly can have. Because I want to leave a legacy for my kids. I don't just want to leave them. I don't want them to have, leave them a house and, you know, some money. I want to leave them a legacy where they know how to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Legally, that they don't have
right.
to get hit on nobody. You know what I'm saying? I have 5 kids, but I have 2 that are at home. The other ones are grown, master degrees, and, you know, they're in their profession. So
mm-hmm.
the 2 little ones or whatever, but when I'm gone, everybody's going to be cool.
Right.
You know, and enough of us don't do that. And that's,
right.
and that's, you know what I mean? And that's kind of sad, but you want to give them all the tools that they can if they get a no, because nobody's going to give them anything the way you do. So you want to be
exactly.
able to instill these values in them, you know what I'm saying? But also
yeah.
at the same time, give them a tool where they don't have to beg and plead from nobody.
Right.
You know? Because, you know, it's nice to have money to start that business and push their dream. And you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I said that to my son. You know, he's 13 and he's gifted. He draws. He can look at you and draw you.
That's
but,
good.
You know, I'm trying to push him to the point of, you know, I have to find balance because I don't want to make him turn away from it because I push him so much. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, the earlier he does something with it, the better. As the youngest of 16 kids, none of them kids anything except bills in the house. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I want it to be where my children are like, you know, they say, okay, I think I want to start this business. I would like to hear some startup money because, you know, it's harder for us, especially our sons, to get business loans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to
mm-hmm.
get business loans or startup money for their small businesses, and they end up turning to doing things that are not legitimate, you know, because
correct.
they have the backing for their dream.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Definitely, definitely so. But I loved and I enjoyed talking to you, lady.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll get to all meet face to face. That would be something
yes.
spectacular. You
Are
know,
you still in Atlanta?
I am. I live in Atlanta.
I'm in Atlanta as well. So we definitely will have to catch up. Yes, ma'am. I'm in Atlanta as well. We definitely will have to catch up.
Sounds
but before
good.
You go,
well,
I want you to give some information on how people can follow. You know,
yeah, where can we follow
your author page or how you will find your books or your blog info, you know? I'm sure there's some people that haven't listened to or read your blog. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so the books, Pussy Chronicles and Love and Lust Erotic Tales, can be found on Amazon, Walmart, Hudson Booksellers, Books a Million, and also Vroomin. The blog post is PorschaAfterDark@blogspot.com. And that's PorschaAfterDark@blogspot.com. Everything that you read, you'll find in one of my novellas or my 28 to 35 erotic tales. And a different kind of love, you can find those on the same chapters that I just gave you. To follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's just either Porsha Lewis on FB, and again, that's P-O-R-S-C-H-A Lewis. Instagram, my IG is Porsha After Dark.
Okay.
And Twitter.
Got it.
And Twitter. But I love you ladies, and you guys stay blessed, and you do what you need to do. Just stay beautiful, stay mindful, stay humble, and let's just do this. You know, black girls rock.
Black girls rock.
I'll talk to you beautiful ladies later.
Thank you so much,
Nyan. Thank you for coming.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Good thing.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was so wonderful.
That actually was inspirational. It really was.
I think that
was something that I needed to hear.
I think so, too. I figured she would inspire you a little bit.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm finding that there are so many, like, there's another woman that her name is, she calls herself Toyco, but her author name is Toylin, and she's in Atlanta. I'm meeting with her when she gets back in town. So there's a lot of influential people, especially black girls. Like she said, you know, we rock, but there's, like, a lot of influential and successful black women in Atlanta.
It is. I'm fortunate to be from Atlanta, so definitely I got to give a shout out to my city.
I just miss you because I literally moved to the place you just moved from.
God, that's crazy. That is so crazy. But we'll see
I am right here in East Point, girl.
Yeah, but we'll see each other. Girl, let me tell you what happened. I am my mother's only child, right? My mother's only child, and my father had two children, me and a girl that was older than me, and I only saw her when I was little, up until I was maybe about 2 or 3 years old, so I don't have a good remembering of her, but I saw her again when my father passed away. I saw her at the funeral, and I hadn't seen her since I was like 2 or 3, so I didn't really remember her, but I knew who she was. And after the funeral, you know how people hook up after the funeral, go to a family member's house and everybody eats or whatever. She didn't come. She didn't meet me back at my aunt's house, so I lost touch with her. I didn't even know who had told her, you know, I didn't even know who had contacted her and to tell her that daddy had died in the first place. So it was so crazy because all these years, and he died in 1998. So all these years, I've been looking for her, like on Facebook or phone book or whatever, you know, just looking for her because I just, you know, that's my family. And my daughter, who lives in Atlanta, said, "Mom, I want to be a private investigator when I grow up." And, you know, I said, "Okay." We started looking at schools and all this stuff. So she said, "Well, what about your sister?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know where she is. I've been looking for her for years." And she said, "Well, you know, I want to find her." And I'm thinking to myself, "Wow, that's a big deal because, you know, I can't find her." I gave her one piece of information. I gave her my aunt's phone number because this is the aunt that knows everything about everybody. You know, she's the one. She's the go-to person in the family. She's the matriarch of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, she's the most responsible out of everybody. And so my daughter called her. Now, mind you, my daughter has not been in touch with any of my family, just because I'm such a loner. I don't go around family. So she called her, and she was given a cousin's number. She called the cousin, and the cousin said, "You know what? I'm going to go over to where they used to live at," because he knows, he knew. See, nobody in the family knew my sister except for him. He's the only one that knew her mom. we knew of her,
right.
You know, but we didn't know anything like that. So then he went over to the house, got the information, because they still live here. Now, this is over 19 years, but they still live
right.
in the same house from all that time. And my daughter called back, and she said, I got her phone number. And I was like,
So she needs to be a private investigator.
Yes, girl. I talked to my sister today for the first time in 19 years. And then before that, since I was like 2 or 3, it was just amazing.
So how is she?
She's fine. She has 7 children and 9 grandchildren.
Oh,
and
wow.
She has been married for 28 years.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I know.
Right.
I'm so inspired. I'm like, wow, that's my big sister, too.
Right.
She's
so it's good to see that she's happy.
Yeah. I'm so happy. I'm thrilled. That was like the best thing in the world. So I think my daughter definitely has a knack for that, and she should definitely pursue her dreams.
Right.
That was big. That was a big deal. I hadn't seen my sister in a while. I'm like, wow, this is the kind of stuff that we write about, you know?
Right, exactly, girl.
But I am so glad that you were inspired by Portia. That was a good
yeah,
idea.
Like listening to her, I felt a little better because you know, her story is similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, to mine. Except I took a different route. I signed initially and came completely away from that. I don't think even for a bigger company, I don't feel like I will go back and be signed. I don't feel like I would.
But doesn't it
you know,
seem so luxurious, like, to have an advance, to have that
thing.
Freedom?
It does, but it doesn't come with the freedom. You remember our brother told us that it
yeah.
doesn't always come with the freedom. She might have lucked out because she had a family member in the business. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
It doesn't always come with the freedom. You know, he had that type of success, and he's wary of it now because, you know, they'll give you that advance. You'll see that money. But they take everything. Like you owe them 100 books. They take the rights. They drain your soul. Then they want to tell you what to write, and you know they'll take it right out of you. So I don't think I would go back. I don't think I would ever go back. Even if I stopped being a publisher, I would never go to a publisher.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got a post on Facebook, and I ask people, you know, because I'm always trying to get surveys done.
Feedback.
So I said,
yeah.
I said, do you have a book inside of you that you want published? And so
mm-hmm.
far, I have 5 different responses. And I've done this since we've been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's people out there that want it, but like you said, they're not always serious, you know.
Right.
So it's
people that are afraid to invest in themselves. You know what I'm saying? They're afraid
mm-hmm.
to invest in themselves. And the thing about being a publisher is that now I'm being, you know, like not really being forced, but you're signing with me so that I'll invest in your dream and you won't have to. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I see it.
Yeah. How much is your service?
They,
just offhand, like typically, what is your service?
I'll send you a flyer. I started at $250, and
okay.
and the only way I'll go up is if it gets closer to ghostwriting. You know what I'm saying? Some people need more help than others, but I have a flyer. I'll send it to your inbox.
Yeah, do that because I put this post up, and I'm gonna inbox each and every one of them, and I'm gonna find out where they are in life and where they are in this dream of writing a book. And do they have any money to put where their mouth is?
And that's the thing. Like, they have not written anything. Like, they literally books out in 1 to 2 months. You see what I'm saying? Because they were serious about telling the story. So, for me, if I figured out is that all they did was record themselves telling their story, and I type it. They were so serious that I was getting messages. You know, I make them do 3-minute messages so that I can take breaks between. But
mm-hmm.
I was getting messages every day, back to back. My phone would continuously be full because, you know, they were ready. People that aren't ready, girl, I had one client. We got to the end of the book. All we had to do was write the conclusion, and she she come on, it was her story.
She did what?
It was her story. We got to the end. All we had right one paragraph or one chapter to conclude it. Told the story, girl. She had a cover. We had a synopsis. We had the entire story done. I had gone through the entire story, polished it up and everything. I think I might have told you this before. Her book was about a storm. It was called The Vortex. She named the book. She came to me with the title already. She came to me with the title, and she came to me with a really rough first draft. So I just basically built off of, well, she and I were together to build off of what she already had and polish it. Do you know we got nearly done? 4 months in, she's telling me, you don't like it. It sounds sad. And I don't know what type of storms aren't sad. But
right. That's,
you know, that's the type of people. You know, you get people that are ready and they're going to work on it. It's going to happen no matter what. And then you got people that are not ready and it won't happen no matter what. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating because I put 4 months into this book. 4 months. I didn't even let her finish paying me. I'm like, look, we're done. She's like, oh, I got more money. We're finished. Because, you know, she had been working on the book for years. And we were so close to done. And then she said, no, I don't like it. Let's start over. And I didn't have the energy to do it.
Right.
I didn't have the energy to do it because right then I could tell that she was never going to be done. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She might not be ready for 20 more years. And she's going to. You know, then it would be me taking advantage of her because I keep taking her money to keep working on the same book. You know, but if they are serious, even if they say I haven't written anything, don't let that deter you. If they ask them if they are willing to record themselves telling the story and somebody else type it, because those are the people that I have found are super serious about it.
Yeah, this one guy says that he wrote a book and he just needs an editor to red pen and he's ready. So he's already written his book.
Okay.
I'm going to get more information from everybody. One guy, he says, yes, I know what he wants. He wants a book ghostwritten. I already know what he wants.
Sure, I'll do that too if he knows. Like if he knows he wants a book ghostwritten.
Mm-hmm. I started writing
and he
on
knows
it
what type of. Oh, okay.
But I stopped. Because I don't know. I'll tell you about it offline. But
okay,
it's a good book.
Well, let me know because I can use some ghost writing money, girl.
Okay. Well, I can definitely
let
get
me
it.
Know. You know, like I want to do at least one ghost writing project.
Okay.
I had started one, and the guy just I don't know if he had Alzheimer's or what he had going on, girl, but we would get it a month in and then have to start over because he would contact me like the beginning of a week, 4 weeks in, and say, well, I was trying to figure out if you were willing to ghostwrite my book. I'm like, no, wait. I have the emails. I have the conversations. We're already doing this. And he wouldn't remember, and he wouldn't respond again, girl. It would take another week before he remembers and then gets back to me. We start again and start the whole process over, girl.
Right.
Yeah, so I just gave up. Like,
Well, this is a good project. The one that I just told him to check his inbox. I'm going to go ahead and talk to him about it.
Okay.
Because it's been, let me see, we started talking about this book in 2008.
Really? And he has it? Yeah, we'll talk about it offline.
Yeah.
In fact, let's end the show and I'll call you.
Okay, sounds good to me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, this is the end of the Book Nook segment for this evening, and we hope that you thoroughly enjoyed Miss Portia Lewis, Portia After Dark. Be sure to replay this episode back so that you can get all of her information and get some good tips on how it is to be a published author. And
thank
we are out of here. Yeah, definitely. All right, everybody, we're out of here. I'll talk to you in a moment.